The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, bitch, what is your whole deal? Hey, bitch, just tell us how you feel. You wished for a sign from above. Well, here's a podcast about boy sex, fucking, dating, and love. Seek treatment if you're boring as fuck. Seek treatment if you're unlucky in love. Seek treatment if you just can't take a hint. Well, seek treatment
with Kat and Pat.
Hey!
Hey is for actually an exciting new species called horses. And if you haven't heard about these things, check them out. They're really exciting. They're taking the world by storm, and
they let you bounce up and down on them.
And they're just a really talented young species known for running, but also, of course, eating hay, which might not occur to you as a food, but this exciting new species actually enjoys eating it. And so it has totally reinvented hay and said, hey, guys, this is food that can be eaten.
Hay is the new food.
Hay is the new food. And it is, of course, for horses.
And my name is, of course, Cynthia Chelsea.
And my name is, of course, Kristen Davidson.
Totally.
Kristen Davidson.
And this is Seek Treatment. This is a podcast. Yes. Y'all, this is a podcast about boys. Sex, fucking, dating, and love, and nothing else.
And nothing else. And if you're going to come on, you better know that. And your team better know that.
I went actually to strike today to picket.
I wish I came with you.
I wish you would go back. I have to say something. People are gonna get mad at me, but whatever. Ever since seeing the Eras tour, I'm like, I'm good. I haven't been listening to Taylor at all. Is that weird?
Oh no, interesting. I've been leaning on certain tracks for sure.
I laughed at your, I can't believe I'm saying this sentence, your thread.
Yeah.
I laughed at your thread.
That was actually
I actually look kind of cute right now.
Totally. You always do.
That's sweet. I've been feeling kind of agalinta.
Wait, it's so funny. The song I was talking about, my thread that I'm
going
to from. It's not Taylor. It's You're Gonna Laugh. But actually, I want it to be edited out, but like put this in.
So if I want to learn about your gym, can I watch a YouTube video or do I have to buy an app?
I do an app for sure. It's like,
oh my god, our guest is in the space.
We can let her in.
Let them in.
This is the part where I say I don't know.
I am the father. This is the part where hello.
Hi guy. Hello. You guys, welcome to the chat. Welcome to the chat. Someone who just entered the chat. His name is
the chat is being entered by an amazing.
The chat is being penetrated by an amazing, amazing new young comedic voice by the name of Guy Branum.
Open your ears.
Fresh on the scene.
Yes.
Fresh on the scene, exploding onto the scene.
Welcome. Now, not to be admin alley, but do you mind just recording on your phone just in case? We are recording the Zoom, but like a little backup.
I have a decent microphone. Would it be better if I did a QuickTime or would you prefer my phone?
Oh, no, of course. Whatever's easy for you.
Uh-huh.
I'm just keeping it cash. Not everyone has the setup you have.
Well, I am professional, Catherine. However much we want to make these little jokes about me being new, I'm not.
Totally.
Us neither.
Even though I was a new face as recently as exactly 1 year ago.
Catherine, you were new faces last year.
Were you?
That's insane.
I would say new face last year. Remember I hurried off my ass from Dublin to new faces? Like,
wow, I blocked that out.
I hurried off my ass. That was a moment in time. Like 1 year ago, Catherine, we were that in was London, one, I think.
That feels like 17 years
ago. That was it. Not only was that 1 year ago, but it was like exactly 1 year ago.
One might say you guys conquered London.
That's nice.
We did conquer London.
We did.
And 1 year ago, I began, and literally then I went to Montreal, and then I hurried my ass back to the States to hop on Zoom for Hack Season 3, and to finally, after a years of will they, won't they work together,
totally,
become colleagues and coworkers with Guy Branum.
Yep.
Exactly. We are so happy to have your colleague on the pod. Guy, how are you today?
I'm doing beautifully. I was in Sunnyvale for a weekend of stand-up over the weekend, but it's back to wellness, back to Los Angeles. You know, it was morning with the trainer and then just getting in those collagen peptides, you know?
Guy
is always traveling for like gigs to the point where it's like, I would say like at least 3 days a week, he would log on and be like, I'm in the green room of Kelly Clarkson.
What are your travel tips? As someone who travels all the time, what do you have to have with you? And are you like a light packer? What's your vibe?
Oh, I believe very firmly in checking one's baggage.
Everyone, love that.
1,000. I used to not believe in it.
Yeah. People think they're playing some sort of game, but look, I'm flying out of LAX. I ain't connecting, you know? And when chaos does occur, recently I found myself in Paris, France.
Oh.
And Delta Airlines did not get my baggage to Paris, France in time, which meant I got to visit the big and tall stores of Paris, France on Delta's dime. What a joy.
Wow.
They give you money?
Yeah.
Wow.
I have to say something. Like,
Go ahead. Say it.
You know, I'm a Delta girl through and through, and like, will live my life as a Delta girl and will die my death a Delta girl. But Delta is dropping the ball lately. Like, they're fucking up. Like, they're not doing good. And like, they're going to lose me as a friend.
It's crazy.
Because I have self-respect. And as of three days ago, I have self-respect, and you can't just treat me however you want.
Work from home took its toll on everyone. Okay.
Yeah.
And we really say that comedy has been as funny on television for the past 3 years as it was when we were, you know, just Jews in a room working for 16 hours a day.
Well, I have to say, I've only been writing TV for the last 3 years, so I would hope that it's better than ever, and I would hope this is a golden age.
Ever since this new young voice came onto the scene, TV has been...
I literally started writing TV in summer of 2020.
But you were on the entrance ramp to the highway for a while.
I was definitely like, people who did write for a TV were copying me, so I think my voice was definitely reflected. My voice was definitely being reflected on the small screen.
There was a small slap fight on the thing that used to be Twitter, like yesterday or the day before, with Ashley Ray and this girl who it was. The funny thing is that she kept saying, I'm a screenwriter, because she had worked on one show 10 years ago. And
wait, Ashley Ray or the other girl?
The other girl. The other girl had worked on one of those like FX men on motorcycles shows, and she kept saying, I'm a screenwriter.
Oh my God. I thought
it was very funny.
Someone who's never written for television, but when I tell people that, they go, oh really? And they're kind of surprised, which is kind of all I need.
Catherine, I cannot emphasize this enough as your elder to say to you, anytime anyone attributes a credit to you, you say thank you.
Yeah.
Like, never tell anyone you didn't do anything. Like,
yeah.
Just let your mythos grow.
Okay, that's a good advice. That is good.
Wait, what was I going to say? You know, Guy, you're making history as the third ever Hacks writer besides me to enter the chat on the podcast.
So Ariel Carlin was last week, right?
Ariel Carlin was last week, but actually, you have to understand, this will come out in like October. Do you think the strike will be over in October when this comes out?
No.
Really?
I think we're lucky if it's by end of year.
Seth Rogen came down like at the beginning of the strike.
I'm not allowed to be frivolous.
My computer says yes, I'm not allowed to be frivolous. You know when your computer comes alive and like thinks you're talking to it? Anyways, what did Seth Rogen say?
Was your computer mad that I was name dropping? Angry.
It started saying
it. Said, Guy, as one of your elders, please don't name drop on the podcast.
What did Seth Rogen say about my career?
At the beginning of the strike, he was a hard, like, it will be October. I think around October, maybe it will come. But I also have a fear that they'll just be like, you know, we've gone this far. Let's
I was full like Vanessa Hudgens, like, I think to lie sounds like a bunch of bullshit. Like, what was I gonna say?
Wait, okay. So I want to get back to you check a bag.
Oh, I like
because you just trust.
Well, and also I don't want that in my hands. I want this to be somebody else's problem so I can have a nice experience. I would say I'm bad at packing. Like, I'm good at doing it quickly, but I always take too many things.
Can I share with you the great irony of my life?
Yes.
The bag that I check isn't the one that's annoying to carry. The one that's annoying to carry is my big ass leather tote with all my devices in it.
Totally.
Oh.
What do you think about that?
Well, you can't give away your big ass leather tote with all of your devices in it. You need to have your devices.
They don't let you put your devices in your check on in your check. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm flying like not first to Cali, and sometimes I like to treat myself.
Are you okay?
Sometimes I do like to treat myself to first, but I was like, it's a strike. Like, you know, so we're working again. Like, I really should. I'm also concerned about, you know, Gaia. Do you know I'm moving to LA in 6 days?
Oh no, I didn't know that. That's very exciting.
Yeah, but I'm kind of scared that like. With the strike of it all, like, you know, I obviously don't have recent paychecks, so I'm kind of concerned that they're going to be like, you can't have an apartment.
LA is pretty good at understanding that people have different approaches to income.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I don't see that as being a huge problem, but I think it's important that you're moving here during a strike, because living in Los Angeles and not having anything to do all day long is a very important part of being in Los Angeles. Like, it is
totally
the experience.
I need to start a new chapter. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
You have to help me start it. The rest is still unwritten.
You're a woman.
I'm staring at the
blank. Not all over again. That's a very niche gay icon performer who pretty much was just a hostess at the Ace Hotel in Palm Springs. But
wait, whom?
There was this lady who had been a replacement. She had been a replacement funny girl for Streisand and dated Elliot Gould at some point in time around then, amazing. Who just ended up as Linda something or other. And she ended up as the hostess at the restaurant at the Ace Palm Springs. But she had a record that was like in a bunch of the rooms. And her signature song was "I'm a Woman Starting Out All Over Again."
Oh, interesting.
I feel like that is going to be me.
Yeah, it's all of us. It's all of us.
When things go south.
That's all of us every day.
True.
Every day we wake up and we're a woman starting all over again.
You know, I saw a TikTok amazing sentence that was like, what if every time you open your eyes, it was like you were seeing something for the first time. And I was like, that would be crazy. I was like,
Well, you know, I have been trying a new strategy that I invented as I've been haunted by my past and future, that I, as I've been trying to connect with the present moment, I keep being like haunted by the past when I'm alone on like the train or like something. So I keep doing this thing where I pretend that I am like a new sentience, like a new being that was just dropped into this body. And like any experiences this body has, like I know nothing of them. And I'm like, being filled in, but I have no emotional attachment to them. Do you know what I mean? And I'm
like, one of my favorite things is when like socially savvy adult gay men use the tools that they learned as rejected 8-year-olds to process this world.
totally. Well, you know, I'm working with a new therapist, and she's really into talking about my original wound, that feeling when
what I call my pussy. Hey, now let me ask you this. Let's get down to business, because I'm dying to know, Guy. On this pod, we just asked one question, which is, who were you, who are you, and who do you want to be? Let's go. Okay. Take us to the very beginning, please.
Okay. Who I was like a thing in the corner, like a thing in the corner.
Watching you kiss her? What do you mean thing in the corner?
I would like to step back just for a moment to your original wounds, Catherine. I realize that this is coming out months from now, but have you seen the Barbie picture yet?
I have not.
I saw it this weekend.
Okay. I would just like to say, if either of you want to text me your feelings after having seen it, or now, Pat.
Yeah, I'll say something now. And I hope I don't get...
Did you love it, Guy?
Oh, yes.
Okay, cool.
Okay, I threaded this yesterday, and I don't want any of you mad at me, but there were parts of it I really liked. I thought it was a bit of a nothing burger. That's my official review. Wow. I thought it was kind of a nothing burger.
No. All I want is to have feminism processed in front of me. I want everyone to get to process too. Their feminism in
but
front of
do you, me. Do you know what it was giving a little bit? It was giving a little bit Promising Young Woman, where I was like,
oh,
it can't just be pedantic monologues. Like, it has to be like,
no.
It felt a little bit like I was being talked at for a lot. And like, which I, you know, I love like
women.
Everything, women. But I'm just like,
everything.
And, but can I, or can we have a little bit of fun while we do it is my question. Okay. And like,
that's
and I didn't
seem to me. I thought that it was full of play.
It was full of play, but in a way that I was kind of like, maybe it was also like my, I don't like musicals because I don't like when reality is in this. Like, I was kind of like, well, this doesn't like necessarily make sense. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was a little fast and loose for me. And there were moments, and I think like, I love Greta so much, and I love how she can like really sometimes tug at certain existential worries I have. And she did that a couple times, but sometimes it, they felt like misses, or it was just like a lot of monologue buckets.
Greta,
that I kind of was
she,
like,
is she your close personal friend? Is she? Because she's in this phone.
That is phone. Huge.
Has That's not huge. Responded to a text in like 12 years, but is in that phone.
I'm an enormous fan. Lady Bird to me is like one of the best movies of all times. And Frances Ha. And
what
like,
about Frances Ha? That defined me. Defined a generation.
Yes. Yeah. It defined a generation of people like us. But I just feel like I of course like Barbie movie. My hopes were very high. I felt a little bit. I'm also in like any movie I see right now, I'm gonna see through a lens of being depressed. So like whatever. But it did, I think, get me a little bit out of my depression. Like, I've been tracking my macros religiously in a way that's, like, probably bad. And I, like, had Butterfingers during it. And, like, that was really fun to, like, set myself free from my cage a little bit. And
what's your protein goal for the day?
Well, I'm going to sound like, this isn't going to sound good. Mm-hmm. I generally, like, try, so here's the deal. It's, like, I generally try to have, like, somewhere between 35 and 40% protein and about 35 and 40% carbs. And then I try to keep it around 25% fat. I think that works out.
I don't know what,
he's working the zone.
What does that mean? But
here's the deal. Like if I'm to eat, say, let's say 2,200 calories and I want it to be 35% protein, that has to be like 220 grams of protein, which is, you know, if you go by the gram per pound of body weight, it's like so much too much for me. So when I get to LA and back to my gym that I like, they can tell me, I'm going to be like, how much, I'll be like, I don't think I should be eating more protein. I do think I should be eating more calories. How should I structure it? And I'm going to ask them. And I also have been pretty like strict about tracking my macros for a couple of weeks. And now I'm like, I could be more loose with it and just generally know the rules. But I mean, if I have 160 grams of protein, I'm kind of fine, I think. But I have been eating more than that, only because I want to get my calories higher. And if I don't do it in protein, it will mean eating a lot of carbs or a lot of fat, which is fine. But I'm just like, what is best for my goals? Do you know what I mean?
Catherine, I am pivoting on my definition of who I was, who I am, and who I will be.
Okay.
During Pat's protein monologue, I shifted it to, I was an observer. I am now a striver, and I aspire to be like, lover is trite and passe, appreciator, something like that. But then I completely shifted that to pragmatics of who I was, fat little sad boy in an almond orchard. Now, who am I? I am a devotee of Thomas DeLauer, a YouTube man who tells you what you should do with your life and how much you should eat and everything like that. And you'll be fixed and hot like him if you do what he says.
Who is that?
In the future, I don't know who I'll be. But I just, Pat, your journey with protein really made me want to proselytize.
Yeah.
You should be watching Thomas DeLauer videos.
Oh my God.
So that you understand why you should be eating macadamia nuts instead of almonds.
Yeah, interesting.
I have so many questions.
Like,
first of all, where was the almond orchard?
Rural Northern California, an hour and a half north of Sacramento. How did Jews get there? It's a funny question, Catherine Cohen. They came to Arkansas before the Civil War, and then they were bad at selling things, and then the Dust Bowl happened. So they grapes of wrath, which is not a thing a lot of Jews did, though it is part of the rich tradition of there being pestilence and us fleeing.
Of course.
Interesting.
Beautifully said. What were you like in high school?
And I didn't know almonds grew in orchards. two questions. What were you like in high school? And I didn't know almonds grew.
Two things can be true.
Yes. Like, I was just singularly focused on doing as well in school as I could so that I could get out of there.
100% same.
My little hometown, no one went to college or anything. And so I was just like, through organizations where you like go to other schools and compete against other students. I was like, I have to figure out what they know that we don't know. Because if I play this game wrong, I'm going to end up working construction or like being the head of the ditch diggers.
Oh my God.
And then you're going to be like the gay construction worker from Sopranos giving head in a chop. I have a question.
I didn't know almonds grew in orchards.
I have a question that's actually a sentence. I know you have one sibling at least because you have a niece that you're close with.
Yes.
Do you have another sibling?
I have one sister and she's batshit. She's like, she's good Parker, like Parker Posey at her best.
Oh.
I can't watch. Parker Posey on Lost in Space, I couldn't watch because I was like, well, that is what I've been fleeing from my entire life.
Is she older or younger?
Yeah, she's 5 years older, and we haven't heard from her in 5 years. And the thing is that she's
still... So you haven't heard from her since she was your exact age?
I mean, don't put it that way, Pat. That's aggressive. That's really aggressive. But my niece is doing great, and I hope that my sister is finding peace.
Is your niece in North Carolina?
I'm sure she's listening to this, so let's just send out a message and say, we send you love and light.
Yes, we send you love and light.
Want to be a comedian? When did you want to be a comedian?
I didn't think I was allowed to be a comedian. I wanted to be something like respectful.
Well, you're not.
I got one thing right, dude.
I went to law school not because I wanted to, but because
I forget that about you. You fully went to law school.
Yes. But then I came out of the closet, got real depressed.
That happened to me too.
You like when you're around people who are like really focused on what they want to do, it's interesting, like people who start comedy here, I'm always wondering, like, do they ever experience that kind of, because people here are focused in a way. When I started in San Francisco, people were not focused, and I feel like in New York you feel like people are doing comedy because they want to, where in LA you can get that feeling.
Yes, like,
oh no, they know what's going on.
Oh, I hate that feeling.
Yeah.
Crazy. The phrases, when people started using phrases to me that I was like, I've never heard of that. I don't know what you're talking about, but I obviously should know that and I'm behind and blah, blah, blah.
One time someone said a sentence to me the sentence went, I try to always be working on two or three pilots at one time. And I said, that's amazing.
Crazy.
I said, that's amazing that you do that.
So you should say that's a really stupid use of your time then.
But it's lovely to have been here long enough that you realize those people who really do have the grind in them.
Like
some of them, you know, 10% of them, it may come together, but most of them are just false.
Okay.
Like most of them
that's comforting.
Just putting on a little show. But law school was full of people who like, they were headed towards, like, this was also law school in the Midwest, so it was like people who were headed towards heterosexual responsibility. Like, I'm going to have a career and children, and then one day be the state attorney general. And so I came back to San Francisco and was just like, I want frivolity, and stand up gave me that.
And you were gay at this point in time.
I was gay, and it was very nice to like come out in law school and feel like, oh, I don't know how to be gay here. And then a year and a half later, be in San Francisco on stage being like, I'm a professional gay. I understand everything.
That was literally me at UCB.
Yeah.
You at law school was literally me at UCB.
It kind of was your law school in a way.
Yeah, UCB was my law school.
I remember one time someone who will not be named on this podcast told me that they were kind of building like a grad school of improv for themselves.
Can you say it and we believe it?
You don't know them. I'll just
kind of build it. It's so interesting. You know, I actually had the most I had the most moment last night. I had a moment.
The most, like the most moment is really beautiful.
You know, I got my start in improv and like so much of my early years in New York, where I've been for like 11 years, like was just so, so like focused on improv and like in like trying to figure out how to break into comedy through that. And like, I do have so many memories I don't think about that much of like being that person. And like, I happened to do an improv show last night. It's my last week in New York. And I, of course, wanted to bail, but I was like, I'm going to do it because I think that would be so fun to do an improv show my last week here and like bookend the whole thing. And it was in Brooklyn. And so I was at Catherine's and I got on the L train. And you don't see this very much, but I was sitting across on the L train from this group of four people. And like, it was like one girl and three boys, and one of the boys was gay, and they were all wearing cargo shorts, and they, and like the straight ones had like sling cross body bags, and they had the haircut. And I was like, those are improvisers, but that doesn't exist anymore. So like, whatever. But then they were talking, they're like, yeah, and I really liked that move that, that Ashley made. Like, that was an interesting move.
Wow.
I was like, oh my God, they're talking about improv. And then one of them was like, and how was like how was the crowd at like Bingo Bongo night? And the guy was like, it was pretty good. There was like 12 people. This is an exact quote. There was like 12 people in the audience, which I think is good for a Monday. And like, and I just was like,
oh my God, oh my amazing. God.
And I was like, that was me. Like, those girls were me. It was an episode of Girls, and that like, I was like, those girls were me. Mm-hmm. And it was just such a moment because I was on my way to this improv show. It was so random. And
was it fun, your show?
We had a lot of fun. It was We Will Turn You Gay. It was Aaron, Josh, Lou Gonzalez, Brian Foss, and Jeff Hiller. And we were like on a plane and everyone's a lesbian except for me, who was a straight girl. And and yeah, it was really fun. There was like not a big crowd. It was like kind of embarrassing, but it was fun. Like, it was, I enjoyed it actually.
Beautiful.
You should have seen the venue is what I'll say.
Okay.
There's just such a specific type of venue where it's like, okay, where did this come from? It looks like it was put like $1 billion into, where it looks almost like a set piece from like Saved by the Bell, because it's so like almost like UCB Hell's Kitchen culture, where everything's so polished and there's like neon lights, but also like no one's there. And it's like, this will be out of business in 1 year. And there's like
such a creepy energy. I know.
Really placed tables. It's so interesting, but it was like that kind of venue. But anyways, in any case, I'm trying to say in any case more.
In any case, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, I think it's
so. Guy, you're in San Francisco. You're doing stand up. You've come out. Do you fall in love? Do you take a lover? What happens next?
I do not take a lover. It was the weird thing of like, for the last 2 years of law school, I did nothing but go on coffee dates, and then I came and I stand up was my life, and so it was just like, it was just hookups and like early 2000s San Francisco hookups, like early 2000s, like, sorry, did my audio get weird?
No.
Early
2000s. Oh, my ear itched, honestly.
It was early 2000s, like, I tried to work out a joke about it recently because I got so paranoid during the pandemic about having somebody come over for a hookup and like open all the windows. And like, there was one time when I think I wore a mask until I started blowing him, but like truly, like I could like walk into somebody's house, watch them finish smoking meth. They have sores all over their face and want to fuck in a briar patch. And I'm just like, sure. But I got really good at, you know, just like going and doing some sets and then going to a club afterwards and like, you know, meeting somebody and having fun. But I didn't, like, it was not the focus of my life. It was possibly the like 3 years of my life where there was no sense of, you know, a boyfriend might be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Someone recently asked me, someone was asking like, oh, well, when you were single, like, where would you go out? What would you do? And I didn't know how to say. I was like, I would just go to like comedy shows and then stay at the dive bar so long until I was so drunk and like kissing someone. I was like, that's my youth. This is my youth.
Yeah.
I've never been to a club.
But there is the dynamic of gay guys don't, like, I think it's so funny that in LA, like, no gays, like, stand-ups ever end up in relationships with each other at all. And then like the lesbians here are in like five couples that shift shape every couple of months.
I have noticed that. Why is that? Why don't the gay guys comedians hook up with each other?
Well, I think we have a stronger sense of don't shit where you sleep. I think we have a stronger taste for like the magic of the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was when I was starting out, it was, there weren't that many gay comics when I was starting out nationally, but San Francisco had like kind of a cool little scene. So there sort of were some people, but you were just like, I don't want to mess around with them because then I'm going to have to see them again.
Right. Yeah. What is this? I'm performing in San Francisco again in September. Yes. I hope this comes out before then so we buy tickets. What was the scene like?
Oh, I mean, it was like a really cool, good, fun scene where you like both had to perform to smart audiences and you had to go to two clubs every week, where I feel like that is a magical combination that not everybody gets. Like,
yeah,
you know, I love LA comics and I love LA comedy, but you just don't come up with like a sense of responsibility to a club of like, I must have this many jokes in that period of time. And yeah, it was a way that it was just like, you know, it was 2002. Like, the idea was that success happened for straight boys in hoodies. And yeah, like, you get to have fun, but you're never going to be successful like your friends are.
Now look at you. Now look at you.
Now look at you on the biggest podcast in America. what was I going to say? Hey, do you think I'm funny in the Hex Room? Be honest.
Oh, you, like, the extent to which you just channel perfectly formed statements for Kayla, Meg Stalter's character, is a beautiful thing to watch. Like, there are so many things. Like,
and what about the other characters?
Look, you are a very capable writer, and I have been very impressed by your work. But also, and
you have to say like, that.
And you're so funny. You're so funny. No, but I like loving people. It's where I'm going. Aww. It's where I'm going.
I want to like loving people. I love hating people.
But you did. You truly know that there are a couple of lines of yours that like built episodes. Like,
oh my gosh. No, my favorite line of mine got cut, and the whole scene got cut. The one about G.
Oh no, I'm just thinking about the one about Spider-Man.
That wasn't mine.
No, it was.
That wasn't mine. That was like.
No, true. That was you.
No, that wasn't me. I remember hearing it. I think that was like Jen. Boys, or yeah. Anyways.
Play nice.
I know that wasn't me because I remember thinking it was really funny, but I don't think I did it. But anyways. I'm sorry. I don't know why I asked. Now I feel stupid.
But also, I want to say it's excessively like it's participating in the genius myth of Oppenheimer for you to be talking about your solo contributions in a writer's room.
1,000%.
Fundamentally a collective activity. Like, trying to think about authorship in those terms is really, it's rooted in capitalism.
Pat, yeah, but
I
you,
want
but,
you to excise yeah, but that.
I know, and I do
love the work, Pat.
I do love the collaborative nature of a writer's room, especially the Hacks writer's room.
Yes.
But you do have to in some way think about your contributions because, like, I don't know, you have to measure your own value in some way, I think, without getting competitive, don't you think?
Absolutely. Yes, but I would again like to speak to you guys as a younger generation of queer and female comics, which is...
Which one's which?
Exactly.
Not clear. Nose goes.
If Billy on the Street had lasted two more years, both of you would have been roped into that goddamn room. Like, you would have not had
Billy
a choice
the,
about
I love
it.
Billy on the Street.
But like, Billy on the Street really taught me your job isn't to get things on the air. Your job is to make him feel comfortable enough to do what he needs to do.
Yeah.
And like, I think that isn't the same in like a scripted writer's room like we're doing, but it is related. Like, yes, getting stuff on the air is good, but it's what we're doing is helping Paul and Lucia and Jen do what they see.
Yeah, I make them so, and I just every day I go in, I'm like, I want to make them comfortable. I'm always comfortable. Okay, what else?
What's going on with this YouTube person you're talking about? I'm worried.
Okay. Thomas, I forget how I came upon his videos, but he's real hot until you see him standing next to somebody else and then you realize he's much shorter than you want him to be.
Okay.
And I've just as you know, like, there's the whole thing of like, I'm a fat person and we're at a point in time when we are supposed to be okay with being fat, and I am, and I love it, but I also want to not ignore my health because people like, I do not think that being fat is inherently unhealthy or the result of lack of health, but also I think that there is a way where it can be easier to just ignore your body and distance yourself conceptually from your body, because there's so much tension around it. And I want to love myself in all ways possible.
Me too. That's my goal for my late 30s is to love myself no matter what. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. My new therapist wears a scrunchie, so.
A lot of the most powerful women on planet Earth are wearing scrunchies right now.
Totally.
Really? Yeah.
I actually don't know. There's a clip, but
I mean, they don't have time for too much hair in the face. A little bit, some cute tendrils coming down from the, you know, from their temples. Yes. But all of the hair, no, they have business to take care of.
I can never understand women. I see women, this is crazy. And I love everything, to quote Pat. I see women at the gym with their hair down on the treadmill. Can you imagine?
Yeah, there's been a couple, like,
can you imagine? There was this and girl. Also the girls with the over-ear headphones with hair down, like lifting huge weights. I'm like, that's so chic.
There was this girl that ran for Cornell that had, like, she always raced with her hair down. And I was like, that would be so annoying if I was racing. My biggest dream has always been to be like a really fast cross country girl that had like a ponytail.
There's still time.
It'll never happen.
Okay, so Okay,
no, go ahead.
No, I'm just curious about how this Thomas person has taught you to love yourself.
Like, I think it was more than anything, just like issues around food are so hard because you can fight yourself into a corner about anything.
I struggle so much. It's driving me crazy.
I struggle too. I'm in this place where it's like, I feel insane because it's like that book proposal came out and it said I'm like writing about disordered eating, but I also don't feel like I'm in an amazing, healthful place right now necessarily in terms of how I'm thinking about food, but I also think I'm better than I used to be, but I also like athletically have goals, and like it's just also gets so muddled, and I'm like, you have to have compassion for yourself.
Oprah fucked with us. Oprah convinced us that you're also always supposed to be talking from a place of I'm fixed.
I
feel like that is fundamentally false, and it's so hard around stuff like that because everyone does talk from a place of like, I know what's going on. And one of the things I enjoy about Thomas is like, there is a gentle inconsistency to his videos across the years about what he's telling me to do. And it makes me accept that this is just witchcraft. But I started out from a place of I'm enormous, and getting enough protein is a great way of being kind to myself and stopping me from being like randomly hungry. And it started from a place like that. And then I just started, you know, like we all went to that place during the pandemic. This was a little bit after the pandemic of just like watch, like slide into a weird corner of YouTube and just like consume too much. And so I just listened to too many things. And then I was like, you know, let's play with that eating window. Let's try some 36 hour fasts. And none of these things.
36 hour fasts.
Yes, it's the best amount of time for fasting. But the thing is like fundamentally at the end of the day, I'm a fat person and I'm still going to be a fat person. None of these things are going to like excise or make that difference. This is just me trying to be as like trying to come at it from a perspective of being kind to myself.
I also like, you know, during this strike, it's like all we have is there's so much time to ruminate and to like, it's hard. It is hard. And I'm like enjoying getting stronger and like trying to use food as like fuel. I feel like I generally get to my best place with it when I can like, when I can have like athletic goals that are like fun to pursue and not stressful. And like, and then look at food as like fuel to do that is like always when I end up, or else I get caught in this thing of like, well, I get trouble navigating what to eat when I'm just living and like how much, like I have to think of it in terms of like, well, I want my body to be able to do this cool thing later. So I better make sure it has what it needs or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we'll see what we love.
It's exhausting. And then what?
I was saying, I famously, when you were talking about the pandemic, getting really into like YouTube, like we've talked about this before, but I got really into animal attack videos and like I haven't watched them in a while, so there might be new ones out, like if anyone has good. There was a big animal attack video going around of like a sea lion attacking its owner. Anything like that, definitely send my way, of course.
I got pulled into Orthodox Jewish women vloggers. Usually a lot of Shabbat prep.
I love a good Shabbat.
I love a good Shabbat. I okay, wait, what were you gonna say, Catherine?
No, I was just curious unpacking who Guy is now. Are you dating anyone? What's happening? You're out and about, you're traveling, you're touring.
I'm not dating anyone. I've only had like two things that would really count as relationships.
That's a lot for this podcast. We always ask. That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's
and a lot. I am going to see this weekend the most recent person has been on sort of like a restructuring his life journey. And so I'm going to like
interesting
check in with him.
Is he someone who is afar or near?
He is in in New Jersey.
So that's afar.
That's afar. Yeah. Yes. Oh,
what are your favorite cities to perform in? Besides the New York, the LA.
Oh, I mean, I always love going to like San Francisco and the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. I also really like going like Vancouver is really fun because I can do all of my like fun little niche Canadian things for them. But also they aren't as uptight as the people of Toronto. So I think
I'm about to go to Toronto.
I mean, Toronto's really fun, but Vancouver's more fun.
Okay. I went to Toronto last year because we were supposed to see Treatment Live, but then haven't cut it, and I just was in Toronto.
I have no memory. Sorry. Sorry. I have no memory of that.
Oh, I wore this shirt that like I'll never wear again in Toronto.
Can I borrow it for my dates?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I just wore a shirt that I'll never wear again. I wore it again.
I want to say this about Toronto if you live there. One of my show days is selling actually kind of good. The other one, no one even knows it exists. No one's clicked the link. Definitely dive into that second link if you're listening and you live in Toronto. Thank you.
I wore my shirt that I would never wear again in Toronto. That I will never wear again in Toronto. That was, when was Toronto? Was it before or after like?
It was September.
Okay, yeah. So then I had worn it previously in Dublin. And in Dublin, a lot of people kept like, a lot of like straight Dublin guys on the street kept being like, I fucking love that shirt.
The stripe, was it the colored striped one?
It wasn't the colored stripe one, which I don't know that I'll ever wear that one again. Like that kind of
that
came in my.
That was kind of fun.
It was very. It was just very last summer. Like, and then that it's that shirt that's like I got it from Scotch and I think they both came from Scotch and Soda, so they were both like inextricably tied. But they that one. Remember, it was like a knit like polo that was like white and blue stripes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It kind of and the thing about it was like it kind of wore me, and then now it's just like too big at the end of the day, and like so I'm gonna throw it out when I move.
Exciting. Well, give it away.
Yeah.
Give it away.
Yeah, I'll give it away.
I mean, it's very liberating to let go of these things.
Marie Kondo.
I'm going to be letting go of a lot for this.
I say thank you sometimes when I throw away like a really beautiful piece of trash. Like if something comes in a nice box, I'm like, thank you for being here. I love you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be more grateful and enjoy my life. Sue me. Sue me. What can you do me? I love ya.
You have to give yourself pleasure. The universe isn't going to go out of its way to give you pleasure.
I know. I'm learning that. I'm learning that these days. I used to be so optimistic. And while I am not as much anymore, I still want to be able to like believe in things.
Yeah.
It's a tricky balance once you've seen things.
I don't know what I want. I'm going to really learn who I am, I think, for the rest of the summer.
What is your path to doing that? How are you going to achieve learning who you are?
A couple ways. I'm going to, well, I'm doing a lot of work right now in my recovery program in a way that I haven't like since my very early sobriety. And it's like, it's just so interesting because when you do it in the beginning, you're still kind of in this fog. And so much of it is about like your relationship specifically with drugs and alcohol. And like, it's obviously still kind of about that, but now it's all like, just tools to look at yourself and to take inventory of like what is serving you and what is not, and like what behaviors can you change, or like why are you unable to accept certain parts of reality? And like, anyways, I'm really like doing that to the best of my ability right now. And then I'm starting therapy, and I really was in a place of pain, and I like reached out to a few different therapists because I wanted to get one, and then two of them got back. So I took consultations with both of them. And then I had a first session with both of them, and I still can't decide. So I'm going to do one more session with each of them and then choose. There's Scrunchy, and then there's Other. There's Scrunchy Girl and Gay Guy, the classic two.
That is such an amazing dichotomy.
That's the classic, really two, are. The classic two kinds of therapists for someone like me. You know what I mean? But I will say one of them has a, who I really liked, does have a, you know, one of those things where you find something out about the person that's supposed to be your therapist and it.
An unknowable fact.
And you know that it will make it hard moving forward. I'm going to say
guy,
it.
Tell Guy what it is, then we can bleep it.
Yeah, it is impossible to get a therapist in LA who does not have a failed entertainment dream.
Yeah, we're back in with that sentence.
It has been really hard for me to have somebody who wasn't going to bring their own issues to the table. My current guy was a development exec.
He was a
development exec for Daytime. And so there have been a couple of times that I mentioned people and he was like, oh yeah, I know her. She's a place of work.
Oh my God.
It is kind of funny, but I appreciate him. And the other thing.
My current therapist is the was the exec who said that they wanted the writers to be homeless. That's my and he moved into therapy and now he's my exec. Now he's my therapist, yeah.
So beautiful.
What were you saying, Guy?
So every Wednesday I do an hour of French and then I do an hour of therapy immediately afterwards. But the upside is my therapist speaks fluent French. So
okay, chic. How's your French?
It's not, it's fine. It is only since the pandemic. But over the weekend in Sunnyvale, I was crowd working and then one of the guys was French, and so I briefly crowd worked him in French, and afterwards he told me my French was good, and that is only thing I am taking away from the weekend.
That's huge. I know you love a trip across the pond.
Yeah. And not to hop back. Mm-hmm. But I want to hop back for one moment and say, how are you feeling going into the trip to a far New Jersey? Do you feel excitement?
Right.
Do you feel like nervous? Do you feel what?
He's been in a place for a while and I have not been asking him a lot of questions about where he is because I just want to be respectful of the fact that he's like taking care of himself.
Yeah.
And so I'm mostly just excited to know how, like, better how he's doing. He seems everything I've seen is that he's doing really well, and that makes me happy, and I'm really trying to place as few other I want to put as little weight on this as possible, you know?
Yeah, totally. Just have fun. It's so hard, isn't it?
Will you be spending some time in the greatest city on earth?
I will be, because the other reason I'm going is my best friend is having her birthday.
Oh, so, who's your best friend?
Yeah, who's your best friend in New York?
My best friend is Rebecca Cohen. She is a cartoonist who lives in Long Island City.
Okay, shout out.
Her husband is a soccer journalist.
That's hot.
She is, she's once said the only nicknames she ever received were the Ice Queen and the Princess of Darkness. So she's not somebody who's good at saying, I need you to be present.
Aww.
And I got a little bit of feeling recently that she needed me to be present. So I was like, I'm coming for your birthday.
That's so sweet.
In my 30s, I want to be called Ice Queen, Princess of Darkness. I'm the opposite of that. I can't even. I'm like, Ice Queen.
I feel like I'm so like silly and affable and like wanting people totally to like me, but then like people always like say that I'm like cold, but I don't think I'm
you're
cold.
Not cold,
but you always say people get like
you're not, you don't need people to like you the way I do. You're
it's
like,
it's funny that, but I do think, I was thinking about you saying that, I do think that's a bit of a mythology you have about me, because I must need people to like me, but maybe
sure.
I guess it might be more romantic for me than in friendship circles.
Yeah, or I feel like I like overanalyze every interaction I have with any kind of person I meet in any kind of capacity, and you're just like, I don't care.
Guy, are you good at letting things go?
Oh God, no. though I have to say, as time goes on, there are ways where like I am a hot and wet person in every way, and
yummy.
When I have found myself being capable of being cold or like silent on something, I'm so proud of myself
for
not being the person that I'm supposed to be. And then I realized like, maybe this isn't serving me. Like maybe you are being passive aggressive. Maybe you are being.
I know. I don't know what. Oh, interesting. Anymore. That's what I'm
learn. I feel similarly. And I recently was rude to someone who had wronged me. And I felt so proud. I was like, yeah, fuck that. You don't have to be nice to everyone.
Oh yeah. No, but Catherine, did you get to slip a dagger in an ice cold way?
I did.
That's the best. That's the best.
Yeah.
The person was, Guy, when I say the person was trembling in fear, it was pathetic.
Yeah. You know, I'm getting into the season of Love Island finally, Catherine. Is it a good season? I'm kind of enjoying it.
I don't know if it's good, but I'm watching it.
Yeah.
Like, do you like Love Island, Guy?
I've only watched the first episode of the current season. Mm-hmm. I hate them letting the people at home match people.
100%.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I mean, it removes all the fun of the first episode. They truly match people by race.
I know. Yes, it was crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
I think they're so scared of, like, because it makes people uncomfortable and they don't get chosen. They're trying to, like, make the show too, like, nice so everyone feels, like, safe or whatever. But it's, like, it's making the show boring and stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I feel like people kind of handle it well on that first day if they don't get, like, stepped forward for or whatever.
I also just, I don't know what shows up, but I feel like we've run out of hot people in Britain.
They
are less hot, which I
the bombshells are getting hotter, though. They just brought in They just brought in the footballer. And,
wonderful.
Which guy?
The guy who he's pretty new. I don't know. I obviously don't know any of their names, but he's a footballer, and he like is definitely open to like meeting people. And then
cool. That's good.
I'm at the part where Mitch just out of nowhere said his door is open to get to know Jess.
Mitch needs help and God, but I wish him the best. Anyways, Guy, who do you want to be? What's your dream of dreams? You said you want to be someone who's enjoying.
Yeah, I mean, like, my dream of dreams, like, I tend to not think in those terms.
Mm.
Like, I tend to be maybe too sort of like process oriented and just like doing the things that I want to do.
That
and
try seems to be smart.
Happy with the places that it takes me. But I do think having a long term dream, having it be more concrete, maybe I would be more likely to achieve those things. Here's my big dream. Here's my big goal, Catherine Cullen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is in like, at the point in time that my niece decides to reproduce, if she does, I want to be able to access that regularly without having to live where she lives. Sometimes I'm like, oh God, I should just give up Los Angeles and go spend as much time with my niece's children that I wasn't able to spend with her. And then it's like, no, I have my own life. She understands this.
Yeah.
So it's
also, how old is your niece?
She's only 21.
Thought she was younger.
It will not be for some time. God help us. I mean, that's, and I don't know, like, I want to keep growing. I mean, I think the danger as I get older is there's always that temptation to just settle into an identity. And I think that temptation is more significant when you are inside the boundaries of like heterosexuality and marriage and children.
Yeah.
But also we all know older gay guys can turn into cliches of themselves. And
totally. I'm also
heterosexual responsibility, as you said earlier.
I'm only able
that's resonating.
I'm only inspired to grow when I'm in pain. And that's why when I'm in pain, I can feel gratitude for it.
That's what pain's for.
Do you think you fetishize or romanticize pain?
I can't tell if I do. I don't think so either, but I do know that I can't be happy without any pain. Like, remember when I wasn't happy without any pain, Catherine?
But I think one of my most important lessons in life was like at a time when a really good thing had happened to me, just sort of realizing like, even now I am unhappy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just, a million.
Like, acknowledging nobody's happy. Like, and like, Instagram is the best and worst thing that ever happened to us, but it constantly convinces you that everyone else is having a grand old time when everyone is truly unhappy.
Yeah.
I think I have this like myth of my pre-pandemic self. I'm like, I was thinner then. I was like, I believed in things then. I'm like, I got to get back to that. And it's like, well, I can't go back to that. And also, as my boyfriend reminds me, he's like, you were still annoyed about all the same things back then.
Yes.
But it feels... It's all a fantasy.
But there's also the thing of like your brain is going to waste time in one way or another. And that is the way that it is wasting time now. But I think being too attached to this idea of like, I was better then, or just sort of like Oprah tells us that regret is the misapprehension that the past could have been other than what it was.
Very good.
I really, you know, you have been making your best possible choices in the moment. And I get so mad at myself for the ways that I...
Oh, that's so helpful. Wait, that was so helpful what you just said.
Yes. And like the pandemic was such a weird time. And it's like, I should have been doing this. I should have been doing this. And it was like, no, you also had to take care of yourself.
Yeah. I know. We all barely survived. And everyone's just like boopy doopy doopy. But no, life is good and beautiful, and we're lucky to be here at the end of the day, love. At the end of the day, love.
I know.
Let me ask you guys this. Do you have a crush of the week? It got so dark in my house. I think it's gonna rain.
I have twofold crush of the week. One is Joanne, this woman from my gym who always has a warm smile, a pointer on deadlifts, and a helpful little piece of life advice. And my second crush of the week is Alicia Monson, who ran 14:19 for 5,000 meters in London on Sunday, breaking the previous American record by 4 full seconds. And it's a really mind-boggling time for an American to run, and it was really crazy to watch.
Do sprinters have what is the distance when you stop caring?
I get like I'm very invested in, like, for instance, Sha'Carri Richardson. Like, I get very into certain sprinters, and like, but the events that I competed in are obviously more interesting to me because I just understand them better. And also I do feel like, you know, Alicia Monson's, you know, her previous PR was like 14:34, which at the time was really good. And like, I don't know, in sprinting, you're not taking 14 seconds off your time over the course of 2 years. And so like, mm-hmm. you don't get to follow that journey. Whereas like, so, and I'm sure there's like other things that are fun about sprinting that I don't understand because I don't have the experience, but like sprinting, it does kind of seem like you just, this is how good you are. And then like, that's how good you are for your career. And if no one else comes along, that's better than you win. But Sha'Carri has been a really interesting story because she was the one who like had a lights out Olympic trials, has this like really fun personality, and then was busted for weed, and they didn't let her run in the Olympics because like she had done weed. And then like, then she was, but she just is really funny and had like such a, like she was just very opinionated about it. And then like came back and had like, honestly, a really bad season, but after every race was just like talking so much shit. I was like, fuck everyone, like, this is so stupid, like I'm the best in the world. And meanwhile, she just got like dead last, and then now this year she's running better than like ever. And so like, that's a really fun story to follow. Like, I connect a lot with personalities, I guess, and so it's interesting when you could see somebody like having ups and downs and like root for them. And sprinting for some reason doesn't afford me as much of that as distance does. But I guess the short answer is like 800 meters and up I generally care about. So yeah, what's your guys' crush of the week?
Do you have one, Guy?
Yes. So I go to a terrible gym. I go to a poor gym on La Brea called Hollywood Boxing Gym, and everyone there is a capital C character. like, it is technically in West Hollywood, I think, so there are like still gay guys there, but they are gay guys who fled like Russia and are now, you know, fighting out their pain. But there was a man with just very, very large hair this morning, and he is my crush of the week.
Very large hair. Interesting. Yes.
Up, I mean, he was up or down, or all around?
I mean, it was of Sideshow Bob proportions.
No, not Sideshow Bob.
Yes.
Interesting. And he was hot to you?
Yes, he was hot. Haven't seen him before. Wonder if we'll see him again.
I hope so.
But it was really exciting.
And Catherine, who's your crush of the?
I don't know. I've never seen the program Suits, but I just before this, I opened my Netflix and there was like a picture of the show Suits, and I was like, that is a really hot guy, and he has a special something. Sometimes a man will have something special about his face where it immediately makes me like so turned on. So I need to find out which guy it is, so you guys know what I'm talking about. Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay, uh-huh. I would like to make a couple of points about the television program Suits.
Go ahead.
I think that it is incumbent upon all of us to watch that show now. It's become a major part of just sort of the cultural lexicon because of the Duchess.
Ms. Markle.
Yes. But also, like, I just can't stand the talking point that Meghan Markle couldn't properly kiss the ass of the Queen. Meghan Markle was ninth on the call sheet for Suits. Meghan Markle.
I'm dying.
She had to make some guy who wrote for like Suddenly Susan feel good about himself so that he would keep writing her on the show. She had to kiss the ass of every one of those men who was above her. And like everyone famously loved her on set. And the idea that she couldn't, presented with the Queen of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, couldn't play the game is ridiculous to me.
I kind of liked Suits for a little while. Which
his
one?
Name's the Gabriel older... Macht, and he plays a character named Harvey.
Yes, that guy's so hot. That guy's so fucking
That face makes me want to la-la in the kitchen on the floor. Yeah. I'll be your best maid. Yes.
Oh yes. My God, look at that face.
This guy looks like my next mistake.
He's married to Jacinda from the Real World London.
That's insane.
No.
I
don't believe it.
She's so beautiful.
Anyone from the Real World who has a career, I'm so proud of them.
Yeah, she's an actress.
It's like how Kelly is married to Scott Wolf, Kelly from New Orleans.
Oh, really? Good for
1,010%.
You look like my next mistake. I've definitely seen this girl in things. This girl, 50-year-old woman. Anyways, that guy, I don't care that I'm partnered, not in this guy's orbit at all. He looks like my next mistake. All right.
Do you feel hot today?
Yeah, I actually think I look... Well, I'm sorry. It's gotten pitch black in this room. I have to go turn the light on. I'm so sorry. I don't want to get up because I'm so connected, but I'm going to turn on a light. I do feel hot, though.
I do feel hot as well, actually, for whatever reason. Well. I guess I do like my haircut at the end of the day. I didn't ask for a fade, and they gave me one, so that was their choice, and... I'm just, you know, an actor, not the director, but like, I'm glad with that.
That didn't happen at all, did it?
It's only backlighting you. It's honestly only making it worse. Though it a little bit feels like a dawn is happening. Pat, we need to discuss your recent run of gym photos.
I know, like, I'm so embarrassed of them.
No, you shouldn't be. I'm just here to say, like, you're not a body type that is in any way appealing to me. So why do you keep like the fact that you're posting things where I'm like, damn, Pat, I'm like, he of all people should, my having to worry about being inappropriately sexually attracted to my colleagues should totally. Be focused in the places where it is necessary.
Wait,
you know?
What body types are you generally?
You're a crossover hit, Pat.
I get professionally embarrassed, but sometimes it's fun. Like when you do a workout and you're like, oh, like that's fun. Like, look, my arm looks bigger than it used to. Like, you do want to post. Like, is that embarrassing?
Pat, I'm saying I have not offered to pay for the first steroid cycle for some of our colleagues. And I don't want to come to that point with you, okay?
I will never do steroids ever, ever, ever. I never would do that. It's not interesting to me. I do get such joy out of just exploring my physical limits. I do get such joy out of it.
You're a college athlete. That is the place that you're coming at it from.
That's my entry point to life. And so,
it looks like my next mistake.
Thank you very much. Are you guys mad at me? No.
Okay.
Are you mad that it got
so dark in here? I'm sorry.
Frankly, I wonder what Catherine is hiding. I don't know that it's animosity. That's a cute lamp, though.
I know. I love her. My little bird lamp.
That's very cute.
She's just the only one thing in reach. I'm a lamp only home, of course. I'm not about to flip on the overhead.
LOH.
I once asserted to comedian Ophira Eisenberg. I was yelling a lot about how LA had better salads, and she said New York has better lighting. And I really appreciated that as an assertion.
That's a beautiful sentence.
I love New York salads. Well, Guy, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for joining us. Joy.
Thank you for having
me.
I hope everything goes good in New Jersey, and I hope everything goes good outside of New Jersey to everyone else as well. Love you both. Bye. Have a great day. Thanks. Bye. Seek treatment. If you're boring as fuck, seek treatment.